Welcome to Remnant Voice Podcast. We hope you enjoyed this episode brought to you by Pastor Jason Armstrong. For more information on this episode and other podcasts, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv.
What's up, Remnant Nation? Thanks for tuning back into the Remnant Voice Podcast. I'm your host, Jason Armstrong, Associate Pastor here at Summit Church in the beautiful Smoky Mountains of Pigeon Forge, Tennessee. Last week, we started a teaching about abiding. We did Abide Part 1 and talked about the power of remaining in the posture of abiding no matter the circumstances. We said that abiding is having a constant awareness of the presence of God no matter the circumstance. So whether I'm on the mountaintop, whether I'm in the valley, and none of those things dictate my spirituality because I'm abiding in Christ. I'm remaining in Him. That's what the word abide means. It means to remain. And so He said in John 15:7, if you abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. So if we want to be fruitful, which goes back to the original mandate of being fruitful and multiplying back in the garden, the original mandate of man, when he spoke to Adam, be fruitful and multiply, we see now new covenant here. How do we be fruitful? We've got to abide in Christ. And as we remain in him and remain in his teachings, remain in his presence, no matter the circumstances, we'll start producing fruit. Why? Because the law of the seed, it reproduces after its kind. If I have the seed of Christ in me and I'm abiding in him, then I'm going to produce that fruit. So this week, we're going to go to the second part of that message, abide. It's going to be abide part two. We're going to pick up kind of where we left off last week. So if you're brand new to this one, make sure you go back to last week's episode and get caught up, and then come right into this one. We're going to pick up with Daniel. Daniel was in the lion's den, and this is more than just a Sunday school story. I mean, this is a picture of a life lived and a posture of how we can be abiding in Christ no matter the circumstances that we may find ourselves in a den with lions all around us, or even lies all around us. But if we abide in him, I'm not moved by those things. I know that the Lord can spare me. I've heard it said before that you can't threaten a Christian with death, because we know where we're going. We know where we're headed and who we belong to. And so I'm not going to be shaken when everything around me is being shaken. So we're going to pick right back up with Daniel and see how he responds from that lion's den to the ones that actually put him in the den. Only a heart that's postured in a body can respond this way. So we'll get right into this, and then I'll come back at the very end and talk to you then. So let's get right into Abide Part 2.
Notice even Daniel's heart towards the king. Most of us, if we were put in that pit, what would happen? And even the Lord did a miracle. What would be your response to the king that puts you in the pit? I don't know if I could say, "O King, live forever." But maybe if I was actually abiding in him, I would have the Father's heart towards the king, and then I could. In my own strength and in my own power, I would probably be in my flesh and said, "Oh, King, you did this. I'm coming after you now." Or I would try to call fire down from heaven. But that was not what Daniel did. You see, Daniel, who had this posture of prayer, had a peace within him that surpassed all understanding. And so when the king, the very king that put him in the pit with the lions, comes to investigate and say, "Oh, I hope your God saved you," Daniel responds back. Look at how he said, "O King, live forever." That's not what I would have said. I'd like to think I'd have said that, but there's no way. But Daniel's heart was in that posture of abiding in the Lord. And then Daniel tells the testimony. My God sent his angel and shut the lions' mouths, and they have not harmed me, inasmuch as I was found innocent before them. And I also towards you, O king, I have committed no crime. Then the king was very pleased and gave orders for Daniel to be taken up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no injury whatsoever was found on him, because he had trusted in his God. See, when you abide in him, that level of trust in him is strengthened. See, a lot of us will have that confession of faith, Lord, I believe, but do we trust him to actually do it? And when I live in that place of abiding, I can confess with my mouth, I believe, but I can also then have a heart posture saying, I trust you to do this, Lord. I trust you to do it. I'm not leaning on my own understanding. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. That's a place of vulnerability that most believers don't like to be in. But that's the place called abiding. You can just write these verses down real quick. Mark chapter 4 is the parable of the sower. And Jesus is breaking down the parable to him. He talks about the different types of soil, and the sower sows the word, and these are the ones beside the road where the word was sown, and they hear, and immediately Satan comes and tries to take away the word which has been sown in them. And Mark 4:16 says, in a similar way, these are the ones in whom seed was sown on the rocky places or stony places, who they hear the word, immediately receive it with joy, and they have no root in themselves, or no firm root in themselves, but are only temporary. Then, look at this, when affliction or persecution arises because of the word, immediately they fall away. The affliction and the persecution that's coming against you is because of the word that's in you. Amen. The word that's in you and the prophetic words that's over your life. And so because of those things, the enemy recognizes the destiny and the purpose that's on your life. So guess what? Affliction and persecution starts coming to wage warfare against the word. But if I'm not rooted in him, if I'm not abiding in him, then what happens? I forfeit that thing. I receive it with joy in that moment. Woo-hoo, thank God for that word. Man, that feels good. I love that word of destiny. I love that word of prophecy over my life. And then all hell breaks loose after you receive that word. And then what? If I'm not rooted in him, if I'm not abiding in him daily and not seasonally, if I'm not in that posture of complete communion and fellowship with him, then I take that word and I cast it away. And then I wonder, why ain't I ever seen this happen or this come to pass? That must have been a false prophet. That must have been this. No, you weren't rooted and grounded. You didn't hold fast. You didn't do your part to co-labor with Christ. Go to Acts chapter 12. Acts chapter 12. And look at verse 5. Acts chapter 12 and verse 5. This is Peter. James is just recently killed, and then Peter gets put in prison. So Peter was kept in the prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Peter was kept in prison, but prayer for him was being made fervently by the church to God. Verse 6, on the very night when Herod was about to bring him forward, Peter was sleeping between two soldiers, hallelujah, bound with two chains, and guards in front of the door were watching over the prison. And behold, an angel of the Lord suddenly appeared, and a light shone in the cell, and he struck Peter's side and woke him up and saying, get up quickly. And his chains fell off his hands. And the angel said to him, gird yourselves and put on your sandals. And he did so. And he said to him, wrap your cloak around you and follow me. And he went out and continued to follow. And he did not know that what was being done by the angel was real, but thought he was seeing a vision. When they had passed the first and second guard, they came to the iron gate that leads into the city, which opened for them by itself. Hallelujah. And they went out and went along one street, and immediately the angel departed from him. When Peter came to himself, verse 11, when Peter came to himself, he said, "Now I know for sure that the Lord has sent forth his angel and rescued me from the hand of Herod and from all that the Jewish people were expecting." And when he realized this, he went to the house of Mary, the mother of John, who was also called Mark, where they were gathered together and praying. Peter was in this cell. What was he doing in the cell? Sleeping. He was sleeping. He wasn't, like Pastor Tim said earlier, he wasn't all up in his feelings. And Peter was one to get into his feelings. I believe he learned a valuable lesson back in Mark chapter 4. I believe it's around verse 38. Mark chapter 4, Jesus gathers his disciples. Hey, we're going over to the other side. We're crossing this lake. We're going over to the other side. So they get in the boat, and as they cross over, it says a great storm came up on them. And it says Jesus was what? Sleeping on a pillow. He was sleeping on a pillow. He was sleeping on a cushion. Some translation says he was sleeping on a cushion in the midst of the storm. And disciples wake him up. They say, "Jesus, do you not care that we are perishing?" He rebukes the wind and he rebukes them. See, in the midst of that, they did not doubt his ability to calm the storm. They doubted his love for them. And many of us, when we get into a difficult time and we feel like the Lord is sleeping somewhere, we start doubting his love for us. When actually, Jesus' posture should be our posture. If he gave the word that, hey, we're going to go to the other side, that's a faithful promise from a faithful person. From who is faithful and true. He is faithfulness. He is truth. And when he says, we're going to go to the other side, guess what? I can take that to the bank no matter what storms and chaos try to come against it. I should be able to have peace and rest. I should be able to posture myself and lay down beside Jesus in that boat instead of trying to get out of it. I try to awaken him up sometimes when we go through chaos, when we go through storms. We try to cry out and wake him up, and the first thing we do, we question his love for us. If you love me, why am I going through this? Do you not care that I'm perishing? When the proof of his love for me was that while I was a yet sinner, he died for me. I shouldn't have to question his love for me ever. So I believe Peter, this time, this go around, while he was in prison, instead of getting all in his emotions and in chaos and all the storms that was going around him, he took his sandals off. He took his cloak off. He kicked back and laid back in the cell, just abiding in the presence. And he was so abiding in the presence that he didn't know if he was actually having a vision, a dream, or walking in a reality. He was that in the spirit, in the midst of that abiding, in an uncomfortable situation. Those prisons then aren't like prisons now. So despite his circumstance, Peter stayed in the posture of abiding. And in the midst of that, what happened? Angelic assistance came. Doors, prison doors flung open. Gate doors flung open. Peter just walked, not knowing whether, in the way of Paul's sayings, whether he was in the body, in the spirit or in the word. He doesn't know. It says Peter came to himself. Then he realized, oh my goodness, this is real. He was in such a state of abiding in the presence that he lost what reality was. Super became natural. At the same time, the church was abiding in the presence in prayer. So you had the corporate abiding and the individual abiding. You see that? You had the corporate abiding. The church was gathered at the house praying. They were praying and interceding and abiding in that posture of prayer for Peter to be released. And look how abiding corporately and abiding individually opened up prison doors. Hallelujah. Last one here. Acts 16, you just write it down. This is Paul and Silas. You see them in the prison as well. So one thing about the apostolic is the enemy likes to put it in a prison. Selah. At about midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns of praise to God, and the prisoners were listening to them. And suddenly there came a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison house were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's chains were unfastened. Paul and Silas, everyone's chains were unfastened. This is when the jailer awoke and saw the prison doors open. He drew his sword and was about to kill himself, supposing the prisoners had escaped. But Paul cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Do no harm to yourself, we're all here." And he called for the lights and rushed in, and trembling with fear, fell down before Paul and Silas. And after he brought them out, he said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Hallelujah. They said, "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved, you and your household." And it says, and they spoke the word of the Lord to him together with all who were in his house. And he took them that very hour of the night and washed their wounds. And immediately he was baptized, and he and all his household. Now when the day came, the chief magistrate sent their policemen saying, "Release those men." And the jailer reported the words of Paul saying, "Chief magistrate, we have sent to release you. Therefore come out now and go in peace." What was, in Acts 16, 25, what was Paul and Silas doing in the midst of the prison? Singing songs, praise, worship. They kept that abiding presence no matter the circumstance that was around them. They stayed in that posture. They didn't allow the circumstance to dictate their spirituality. Many of us allow circumstances to dictate how spiritual we are. They remain connected to the true vine. As they remain connected to the true vine, guess what? Everything around them started shaking. They released such a praise and a worship that the foundations of the jail started shaking. Why? They were in a posture where they could not be shaken. They had such stability in them that they were qualified to release a shaking around them. Hallelujah. And their freedom gave permission for others to be free. Jesus says in John 15 that he's the true vine. His Father's the vine dresser. In verse 4, he says, "Abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides the vine, so neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me and I in him, he bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." On down in verse 7, he says, "If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you." Notice there's a prerequisite for the asking. It's called abiding. See, many of us try to ask without abiding. And we wonder why we don't see certain things manifest. It's because we're doing it apart from relationship. That's like me trying to get access to your bank account and I have no relationship with you. I'm trying to make a withdrawal from your account and I have no relationship with you. You know what that's called? Theft. He says, any man that tries to enter any other way is the same as a thief and a robber. I must have relationship. I must be in that place of abiding in him. And this is going to sound like heresy, but it's more than just the scriptures. I start here. I have to have this. In John 5, he looked at him. He said, you search the scriptures, for in them you think you have life. But Jesus was standing right in front of them, and they were missing eternal life. They were missing the encounter of the presence because they were so bound by religious tradition. And they were reading this from religion and not relationship. I've got to have this. I feast on this. I live on this. This is how I know his voice. This is how I discern his voice. But if all I have is this and I have no real relationship, then I'm missing out on eternal life. I'm missing out on the life-giving supply. I don't just want to search the scriptures. I want to have the encounter. He says, if you seek, you will what? Find. That's faith with works. That's hearer and doer of the word. I should be expecting encounters with him as I feast on his word. It's a better way of saying it. I should expect encounters with him as I commune with him and his word. Part of the Antichrist spirit is to get you out of the posture of abiding. Part of the Antichrist spirit is to get you out of the posture of abiding. 1 John 2:18, and I promise I'm landing this thing. It's been a minute, so hallelujah. Children, it's the last hour. Just as you heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now, many Antichrists have appeared. From this we know that is the last hour. They went out from us, but they were not really of us. For if they had been of us, they would have remained with us. But they went out so that it would be shown they were not all of us. Verse 20 says, but you have an anointing from the Holy One, and you know all things. 21 says, I have not written to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie is of the truth. Who is the liar but the one who denies that Jesus is the Christ? This is the Antichrist, the one who denies the Father and the Son. Whoever denies the Son does not have the Father. The one who confesses the Son has the Father also. As for you, look at this. As for you, verse 24, let that abide in you which you have heard from the beginning. He's saying, let this truth that we taught you in the beginning abide in you. That if you've seen Jesus, you've seen the Father. And if you're abiding in Jesus, then you have the Father also. What had happened is there had been deceitful teachers come in 1 John. Other deceitful teachers come in trying to sow deception and discord and false doctrine and all these things to get people out of the posture of abiding. And so he's telling them to abide into that first encounter. Abide in the first gospel that we had sent to you. You know the truth, and so I want you to abide in that truth. Don't listen to all this other stuff that's trying to come in. He said, let that abide in you, which you heard from the beginning. If what you heard from the beginning abides in you, you will also abide in the Son and in the Father. This is the promise which he himself made to us, eternal life. Notice this access to eternal life comes from this place of abiding. And we can do this. How do we do this? Because the anointing that's on the inside of you. 1 John 2:26 says, these things I've written to you concerning those who are trying to deceive you. See, deception is always knocking at the door. Deception's knocking at the door. It's on your TV. It's on the magazines. It's on the internet. It's on social media. Deception's always out there. But he says, as for you, the anointing which you have received from him abides in you. And you have no need anyone teach you, but the anointing teaches you about all things that is true and not lie. Just as it has taught you, abide in him. So this anointing that I have can keep me in this posture of abiding in him. You have an anointing. What for? The anointings all throughout scripture were for certain tasks. You can see the priests were anointed to priest before the Lord. The utensils of the tabernacle were anointed for use in the tabernacle service. Kings were anointed to serve as kingship and head of the land. So anointings are for assignments. This anointing that abides in you, you know what the assignment is? To abide in him. This anointing that abides in you is an invitation and gives you access to abide in him. And it's from there, as I abide in him, I start reproducing fruit that is like him because of the righteous seed. And then it's from there, as I abide in him, I get my assignments. Oh, hallelujah. Stand your feet with me. One of the other things that abiding does, abiding destroys shame. Come on, if you're dealing with shame, then there's an invitation to abide, and that'll crush shame. How do you say that? 1 John 2:28 and 29. Now, little children, abide in him, so that when he appears, we may have confidence and not shrink away from him in shame at his coming. So I can stand boldly on that day of judgment when I stand before him. I don't shrink back. That anointing that abides in me is not just for then, it's for now. And I don't have to have shame. Now, why? Because I'm a new creature. I've been a partaker of the divine nature. And because I'm a new creature in him and I'm a partaker of the divine nature, I have this anointing that abides in me that beckons me to him. And I can abide in that love. So again, the greatest attack right now that we're seeing is the whisper of fear and the shout of fear. One ear we're getting the whisper of fear, the other ear we're getting the shout of fear. And we've got to turn a deaf ear to those things. How do we do that? We abide in his love. A perfect love, what? Casts out all fear. So when he tells us to abide in his love, as I stay in that posture of abiding in his love, the byproduct of abiding is the casting out of fear. So I don't have to go and do ninja tongues all the time to get rid of fear. I just stay in the posture of abiding. If I can stay in that posture of abiding in him, fear has to bow and it has to be cast out because I know I've been perfected in his love. If I start questioning his love, then I start becoming unstable and double-minded in all my ways, and then I give fear that little space of influence in my life. I give him a little toehold, and then that becomes a stronghold in my mind, and then I get into doubt, worry, condemnation, shame, all these things that he didn't pay for. He paid a high price to wipe all those things away, and so what happens is I've got to get back in that posture of abiding in him, abiding in his word, having daily encounters with him. And as I do that, I'm receiving his love afresh. And I know I've been perfected in his love. And a perfect love casts out all fear. You know what that does? That squashes the what ifs. Hallelujah. That buries the what ifs. Hallelujah. Since no one has seen God at any time, if we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us his Spirit. Proof that you have the capacity to abide is the evidence of the Spirit within you. Come on. Hallelujah. See, when the storms come, the chaos comes, hell comes, cares of life come, whatever, sickness, disease, divorce, loss, death, when all these things come, if I can stay in that posture of abiding, because I know that He loves me, I know that He is for me, these things don't define who He is to me, then I won't be shaken in the midst of these things. I can stand firm, being rooted and grounded in love. Whose love? His. It's in that posture of abiding. If you abide in me and my words abide in you. Notice there has to be this mutual thing happen here. I've got to abide in Him and His words must abide in me. That's what I'm saying. I have to have this and this has to be in me. This is what connects me to the vine. His word and His spirit. But out of that, there's this abiding in His presence that happens as His word abides in me. And it's from there, that's the prerequisite for asking. And from there, I can ask what I will. Why? Because what I will be His will. It won't be my will anymore. It'll be His will. His thoughts will become my thoughts and His ways will become my ways. That's what abiding does. And then I can start claiming promises. See, we want to claim promises but violate the principles. We want to claim promises all day long, but we violate principles and we wonder where God is. But as I stay in that posture of abiding, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, then you can ask. Then I can start claiming those scriptures for healing. And I can see the fruit manifest. I can start claiming those scriptures on protection. And I can see the fruit manifest. I can start claiming those scriptures on finances. And as I do the work of the principles, I'll start seeing the fruit manifest. Got to allow those words to come in, abide in His word. And leave you with these. Psalm 119 says, my soul cleaves to the dust. Revive me according to your word. My soul weeps because of grief. Strengthen me according to your word. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. This is my comfort in my affliction, that your word has revived me. I have remembered your ordinance from old, O Lord, and I comfort myself. Psalm 34 says, the eyes of the Lord are toward the righteous, and His ears are open to their cry. The face of the Lord is against the evildoers to cut off the memory of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord hears and delivers them out of all of their trouble. How much? All of their trouble. The Lord is near to the brokenhearted and saves those who are crushed in spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, hallelujah. But the Lord what? Delivers them out of them all. He keeps all His bones and none of them are broken. So I can start claiming those scriptures because I've been abiding in Him. And I can see the fruit of that manifest. When you're going through sickness, when you're going through disease, when you're going through rough times, when you're going through trials and tribulations, don't abide in Netflix. Don't abide in Facebook. Don't abide in Instagram, TikTok, and all the social media. Those are the wrong things to abide in. If you don't feel, because listen, you won't. I've done it. I didn't feel like reading. When I was going through certain things, I didn't feel like reading. But I longed for Him. So what did I do? I'll put on teaching. I'll put on some preaching. There's a lot of things on YouTube that has just scriptures of people talking scriptures over and over with instrumental music on, and the scriptures are just constantly in the room. maybe I didn't pick up this, but I had a heart posture like this. And as he came, this came back. His word is health to thy bones. Psalm 41 says, how blessed is he who considers the helpless. The Lord will deliver him in the day of trouble. The Lord will protect him and keep him alive. And he shall be called blessed upon the earth. And do not give him over to the desires of the enemies. The Lord will sustain him upon his sick bed. In his illness, you restore him to health. My son, give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your sight. Keep them in the midst of your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to all their body. Keep them in the midst of your heart. You may not necessarily know the chapter and verse, but you know him. As you know him, he'll highlight chapter and verse. Don't come to this and read these scriptures without an expectation for encounter with him. It says he confirms his word with signs following. That's not just the preaching of the word. That's the reading of the word. So here's what I want you to do. If you found yourself outside of the place of abiding, number one, let's repent from that. Say, Lord, forgive me from that. I got off over into this. I started abiding in other things that weren't of you. It's that easy. There's a grace that enables you to make the shift and make the change. So in the past several weeks, past month, whatever it is, or even on your way here today, if you found yourself abiding in CNN or abiding in Fox News or abiding in all these other things, all these peripheral things, it's time to get back and abide in the vine. So here's what I want you to do. I want you to make your way around this altar. Say, Lord, forgive me of abiding in the wrong things. And today I choose to abide in you. And as you do that, we're going to go into a time of worship. Hallelujah.
All right, we are back. I hope you enjoyed this teaching on abiding. This concludes our message on abiding for now anyway. You'll see that theme probably throughout other messages as we come, but I'll give you a little bit of a preview for next week. We're going to, next couple of weeks, we're actually going to be talking about silencing fear. Again, one of the things that we need to do in the body in this hour is turn a deaf ear to fear and not meditate on the chaos that's around us, because the enemy would love to get the chaos around us to become chaos within us. But we have the peace of God that surpasses all understanding. And I heard Bill Johnson say that in order to receive or have that peace of God that surpasses all understanding, you've got to give up your right to understand. And scripture bears that out. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding, and in all your ways acknowledge him, and he will direct your path. So next week we'll be starting part one of silencing fear. So if you've been battling fear, know somebody that's been battling fear, going through fear. There's a difference between emotional fear and actually battling a spirit of fear. So if you know anybody, be sure to get ready to share the podcast, share the message, and let them know what's coming up. And so we'll have 2 weeks, the next 2 weeks, we'll be having Silencing the Fear Part 1, Silencing Fear Part 2. So again, thank you guys for listening, and we'll be back with you next week.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more episodes and ways to partner with us, please go to remnantvoice.tv or email info@remnantvoice.tv. Please join us again soon for another exciting message from Pastor Jason Armstrong.